What are the three most important things in our relationship with God that keeps us in contact with Him and understanding His plan? Now that is aside from prayer and study. Now let's come to Psalm 119. Let's read this verse because it's very important. So what we're going to do is look at all of these scriptures, and of course there isn't going to be a single scripture that we haven't covered in the past, but we're going to see it with a little different perspective because the truth is the teachings in the Word of God are layered. That's why Isaiah 28 says, line upon line, precept upon precept, because that's the way that God has done it. And many times it's layered in such a way that even some of the most obvious things you don't see right away, which we'll find out that's what has happened to us. Okay, Psalm 119 and verse 18. Open my eyes so that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Now that's quite a verse. Wondrous things out of your law. Now let's tie that together with Matthew 13. And let's realize what some of the blessings that we have because we have the whole Bible. And remember, all of ancient Israel did not have the Bible like we have it today. Now the closest thing that came to that was the New Testament church. But then they were writing the New Testament and that was being added and so forth. And it really wasn't solidified until John canonized the New Testament. Yet even at that, John had to write some things like, the one who reads, let him understand. Because he didn't understand. And we are told in the book of Daniel, Daniel 12, that even the great prophecies that Daniel prophesied of the tremendous historical events to take place on the earth leading up to the return of Christ, they were closed and sealed to the time of the end. So the reason that we have the entire Bible is so that at the time of the end, God is going to give a witness to all people, regardless of whether they are in the church of God or not. And as we covered last week, who are the two witnesses and Elijah? Now here, Matthew 13, and let's see something very important for us to understand. And here's why, and of course we've gone over this, and over and over and over and over it. But we're going to see today a little more meaningful, perhaps maybe even significantly more meaningful, of what Jesus said. So let's pick it up here in verse 11 after the disciples came and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And it's just like with the Old Testament. Why did you write it in such a way that it's hard to understand? Well, that's so we'll search it out. And that's so that those who have God's Spirit will understand, and those who don't have God's Spirit will not understand. The very same book. So verse 11, and he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you. Now I want you to really understand that. You, whoever has the Spirit of God, whoever has the Bible, whoever knows the things of God out of the Bible, it has been given. And also remember this, 1 Corinthians 4. We have nothing we didn't receive. So we cannot claim any great insight because we're intellectual, because we're smarter than other people. It all comes and it's given to us. It has been given you to know. That's why you know things. Now, just put in your notes there, read and study the whole book, short epistle of 1 John, and go over and note all the things that we know and are to know that's recorded there in 1 John. And it will be astounding. Now, if you don't have the book, The Seven General Epistles, by all means, get it. You can call the office, you can email the office, or you can write a letter and we'll send it to you. Have all of that broken down there. Given to you to know, notice, the mysteries. Now, mysteries could also be translated secrets. Secret. The secret things belong to God, and then how he reveals them to us. The secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Now, in the letter that's coming out for February, you're going to read a letter that someone sent me, because I quoted it in the monthly letter, to where a man had some people that he had known, and they came over and spent some time with him, had dinner with him, and, after asking the blessing on the meal, it got around to them talking about the things pertaining to God, and it turned out that these people were active members in their local Presbyterian church. And they knew nothing of the Bible, and he knew nothing of the return of Jesus Christ. Yet they were active in the church, and the wife was even mayor of the city they lived in. And she even wrote 1,000 articles for the local newspaper. And so he wrote that to me, as well as many of his other friends, because I could tell he made it into a form letter, and it said dear, and then he wrote Fred on it. So I know he sent it out to many other people. They don't know anything. Why? Because it hasn't been given to them to know. This is important to understand. But to them, it has not been given. And remember, you have nothing that you didn't receive, and so they never received it because it wasn't given to them. Now, we've gone over these scriptures many times before, so this, I think we're going to find this really very interesting today. And also enlightening, as it says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of your law. Verse 12. For whoever has understanding, to him shall more be given. That's why we are to grow in grace and knowledge. And we are to increase in it. And also there's another scripture where Jesus said that if we ask the Father, he will give the Spirit to us. Not only just receive it when we're baptized and have hands laid on, but we need to also grow in the Spirit and use the Spirit of God, use the Spirit of God to change our minds, to cleanse our hearts, and lead us and guide us in what we need to do. And he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have understanding, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Just like this man made the comment to him after they were leaving, he says, well, I'll have to check out on this thing concerning the return of Christ. Is he void of knowledge? Yes. Is he lacking in understanding? Yes. Does he go to church? Yes. Do they use the Bible? Yes, parts of it. And so remember, here's another thing to remember. The Bible is like a million-piece puzzle. And if you take a few parts of it, you'll never see the whole picture. And there are certain key things that help us with God's Spirit to put the million-piece puzzle together. And yet, as we do it, there are going to be many pieces that God is going to add to us in the way of understanding as we grow in grace and knowledge. And sometimes it's going to be like we're going to cover today. You're looking so closely at the tree that you miss the forest. Or we take a perspective like an ant. And if he climbs a tree, that's a great journey. Or if he goes, you know, clear across the forest floor, that's a tremendous journey. But if you're like an eagle flying and looking down, you see the whole picture. So we're going to see some of that today. Verse 13, for this reason I speak to them in parables, and that's why even the word of God is hard to understand. Especially for those who do not obey him. See, a key to understanding the Bible is obeying God. And then that obeying God grows into the kind of spiritual obedience then that develops into love and faith and hope through his grace. Because seeing, they see it. Like it says in a prophecy, they handed the book to the wise men, and he says, well, I don't know anything about that. They handed it to the ordinary man, and he says, well, I can't read. And that's referring to the Bible. Because seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. Like one grown son told his father when they were talking about the Sabbath, he said, well, I'll keep the Sabbath if God comes down and tells me to keep the Sabbath. Hello? God already did from the beginning. Okay. Neither do they understand. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which is talking about the very children of Israel, the house of Israel, the house of Judah, which says, in hearing you shall hear. And didn't that happen in Jesus' ministry? Yes, indeed. When it just before the crucifixion, he was teaching every day in the temple, and everyone was coming to hear him, and they were spellbound with what he heard. But how many really believed to the point of conversion? How many hated him because of it, like the religious leaders? And in no way understand. And in seeing you shall see, and in no way perceive. For the heart of this people has grown fat, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. They don't want to listen. See? Lest they should see with their eyes, and should hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Well, doesn't Jesus want to save the whole world? Yes. But his way, on his time schedule, and not now. Now notice verse 16. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Just think about all the things we really, really understand. Okay? And that'll take you some time to sit down and think about it. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men, I want you to apply this today. Today. Especially when we are looking at such catastrophic events that are just about ready to befall us, which the march and the footsteps of those things are already here, have desired to see and have not seen, and hear what you hear and have not heard. So if you're a good full-fledged socialized church of God going, Laodicean, and you're a glad hander, and you go to church for the social things, and you're really not taught anything, and you've been lackadaisical in your study, and you just sit there and let them feed you little teaspoons of warm milk, you're in trouble. And you don't have very long to get right with God. And what is Jesus' personal message to you? Repent and be zealous. You can read that in Revelation 3. So God made these things known to his people, to whom he wants them known. Now let's come to Leviticus 23. Now as we're turning there, I want you to think about how many, many times we have read this. Do we not read Leviticus 23 over and over again every year? All right? Now, I want to show you something very obvious in the way that it has been divided out by God himself, and it's one of those things that has been right there in front of our eyes all the time, and when I explain it to you, you will say, huh, I never knew that. And personally, as a minister, how many times have I gone over it during the 40-plus years that I've been a minister, 45 years now? Okay? And it's going to be something. It is the way that it is structured. And we read it, and we understand it, but sometimes we miss the structure. And this is going to answer the question, what are the three most important things for us in our relationship with God and our obedience to God? All right, let's begin. Verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, concerning the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my appointed feasts. Now that's why we have the calculated Hebrew calendar. Because everybody has an idea. And what if here's a test of your conversion. All right? Let's give you a little test. Do you believe the prayer, the model prayer that Jesus gave? How does it start? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Now here's a very simple prayer. And think about all of the deceived professing Christians who recite that every Sunday. And they don't believe it, but they recite it. Why? Because they're blinded and they don't hear. What is the first thing that we ask? Your will be done on earth. Now, what does that mean? Of course it's going to be done, but that means in our own personal lives. So the question is, are you really seeking the will of God? Or are you seeking to find your own pet little doctrine or your own pet little interpretation, which is not verified in the Word of God, and you go to God to try and say, this is what God says. Now, when you do that, you end up telling God what to do. Now we are going to see the great problems that this causes. And anyone who tells God what to do, you take all Sunday keepers, all holy day keepers, they are telling God what to do. And just like the Catholics brag because of Sunday and the pagan holidays that they have, the occult holidays, they're not just pagan, they are occult or satanic. Oh, well, the Pope has blessed them, so that makes them good. And yes, we took away the pagan name of the day, and we put a Christian name on it. Isn't that lovely? See? So what does God say? You shall have no other gods before me. Now, how are they going to understand anything else if they have all of these false gods that they just rename so it looks Christian? They aren't. That's why the Catholics also brag, well, we could preach the gospel, that is the Catholic gospel, without the Bible. See, because of their traditions and what they believe. Catholics, by the Bible, are not Christian. They take some things from the Bible for the appearance of being Christian, but their full allegiance is never to God. It's to the Pope and the Virgin Mary, who's not in heaven. Because the Apostle John, who took care of Mary after Jesus died, wrote, no one has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man, who is now in heaven. Now that's well after the time of the death of the Virgin Mary. So they don't understand. See, you cannot go to God and tell him what you are going to do, which is contrary to the word of God, and ask God to sanctify it, because he won't. Because it is his will that is to be followed, not ours. All right, continuing on here in Leviticus 23. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. Well, now, in order to further deceive the people in Europe, what they've done, they've rearranged the calendar, which is also the corporate calendar of the world, to have Sunday as the seventh day of the week. Isn't that wonderful? So all of the deceived generations now coming up, these new mushheads that come into the world and go to the government schools and go to the Catholic schools and the Catholic Protestant schools, because that's all Protestants are, just Reformed Catholics. They look at the calendar and they said, oh, look, Sunday's the seventh day. Well, that's like buying gold coins only to find out they're lead. And have been painted with gold paint. It's not the seventh day. And that's why we have in the Bible here Rome's challenge to the Protestants, because the enemy has even told all the Protestants that if you keep Sunday, you're not following the Bible, you are following the Catholic Church, because we establish Sunday and there is no place in the Bible which substantiates it. So they know. Now notice, what is the first thing spoken of here? The seventh day Sabbath. That's number one. And what does that go back to? Seventh day of creation, correct? Yes, indeed. All right. Now granted, it's the fourth commandment in the Ten Commandments. But that doesn't mean that it is not essentially first in giving us understanding in our relationship with God. Let's ask another question. Do you think it's possible to really have a relationship with God when you refuse to keep his Sabbath day? Now remember, Jesus said, who is the creator of everything, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And he also said what? Do not think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. So this is number one key important thing, the Sabbath day, because when you start keeping the Sabbath day, as I've instructed many, many people to do when they are just coming into the knowledge of the truth and wondering about the difference between Sabbath and Sunday, I say this. You take 1 month and you keep the Sabbath every day for a month, beginning at sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. And you make a special study of the Sabbath day in the Bible, both Old and New Testament. And ask God for understanding, and I guarantee you that you will understand why the Sabbath has to be kept, because God said so. That's why. Is the Sabbath day the will of God? Yes. That's why he created it. One other thing. When you read Matthew 2, 27 and 28, it says, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath, meaning man has no authority over which day is the Sabbath. So all the religious leaders and popes in Christendom today are in defiance of God. Notice the next verse. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So which day is the Lord's day? not Sunday, Sabbath. So it's a key important thing. That is the first step of faith in obedience to God that someone needs to take in order to begin to understand about God and to begin to develop a relationship with God. And it's a continuing, ongoing thing that you do the rest of your life. So that's number one. Number two, let's read it. Verse 4. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. And if you want a good overview of this, you get the book. It's a 300-page book, a little over, close to 400 now, titled Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days Which? And you carefully read and study that through. That is the most basic fundamental book for you to read, for you to learn, for you to understand, and it will probably take two or three readings for you to really glean out of it. And another thing I want to tell everyone that they need to learn how to get out of, which is this. Your 12-minute attention span. Well, what do I mean by that? I mean the whole generation of this world, because of television, has been trained for a 12-minute attention span. 15-minute segment, 2 minutes of commercials to begin with, then 12 minutes, that brings you to 14, 2 or 3 minutes of commercials, and then they take the next 15 minutes and they break it down into another pause at 20 after. Between 15 after and 30 minutes after. You watch yourself. I've even done this myself. When it gets close to 12 minutes of watching television, you start getting restless. And if you want to get a snack or you want to get something else, you start thinking about it. And you're so glad when the commercial comes because you can get up and go get your snack or go to the bathroom or something, see. Now, in order to understand the Bible, you cannot have a 12-minute attention span because you'll never understand it. And you cannot have things put, oh, well, give it to me very simply. Give me a summary and then I will understand. You will never understand with a summary. You've got to know the deep things of God. And that comes with work, that comes with study, that comes with prayer, that comes with repeating these things over and over and over again on a daily basis. And the reason that is so is because God has not called you to improve your physical life. Hopefully it will. He has called you to eternal life. And that's what the training is all about, eternal life. Not a social club, not a get-together of people that you know and love. That's all well and good. But if you don't rise above that, what you're doing is in vain. These are the appointed feasts of God which you shall proclaim in their appointed seasons. Verse 5. The 14th day of the first month between the two evenings is the Lord's Passover. That is number 2. The Passover. Because that is fundamental in your covenant with God. Because if you do not keep the Passover the way that Jesus taught in the New Testament, at the time and in the manner that he said, including the bread, the wine, and the foot washing in that order, Jesus said in John 13, you do not have any part with me. And we'll understand why. Okay? Number 2 is the Passover. Number 3 are all the rest of the holy days. Number three. Now, if you do not have the book, God's Plan for Mankind, with the CDs that go with it, you order that. And that's going to take you in depth in 38 sermons all the way through the Sabbath, the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, Trumpets, Atonement, Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day. And the meaning and purpose of God's plan as outlined by that, that is the structure of it. And what these sermons do is bring you the details of the scripture to fill it out. Now, just like what we covered here, one, the Sabbath, two, the Passover, three, the Holy Days, this is an overview, and all everything else fits under that. Now, maybe you've never thought of it, but look at the structure of it. Here it is, right in front of us. And that reminds me of what happened the other day. I charged the battery, and I put it back in the box that so I would be sure and have it after it was charged. And it got covered up with it, some papers having to do with getting the battery charged and so forth. And I knew I put it in the box, but when I wanted to get it to use it, I looked in the box and I didn't see it. So I thought, where did I put it? And I looked here and I looked there and I came back and looked at the box again. I said, what did I do with that? So after looking around, I finally quit and I said, well, it's bound to show up because it doesn't have legs and it didn't crawl away and we don't have any ants or cockroaches to carry it out, you know. They may take it to their place so they can play their own television, you know, but all right. So the next day, I thought, well, I'll throw out the box. So I opened it up, and I reached in there, and I picked up those papers, and voila, there was the battery. So many times in understanding the scriptures, it's just like that. We look and 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 we can't find it. We don't know. How did that happen? Well, here, of all the years that we've been reading Leviticus 23, how did it happen that we didn't understand one Sabbath, two Passover, three the Holy Days? And we'll show why. Comment was made that the Sabbath, the Passover, and Holy Days is the signature that sets us apart from the world. That is true. And also, someone will say, well, you know, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is most important. On what day was Jesus crucified? Passover day. Not on Good Friday. If you believe in Good Friday, and if you believe that he was crucified on a Friday and was resurrected on a Sunday morning, you don't know how to count. You can't even count to three. Now let's look at these three things again here. Let's ask the question. If you do not keep the Passover, let's back up. If you do not keep the Sabbath, number one, and you keep Sunday, and you're a religious person, okay. And you do not keep Passover, which is number two. And you do not keep the Feast of God, number three. What is the counterfeit in place of it? Sunday, communion, the Eucharist, and the occult holidays, correct? And what are those? Those are the three most important things in Satan's counterfeit Christianity. Now, if that offends you, then be offended. But that is the truth. So everyone needs to ask the question, just like it was during the days of Elijah. Why do you vacillate between two opinions as to who the Lord is? If the Lord be God, serve him. If it be Baal, serve him. And Baal's day is Sunday, by the way, and the occult holidays are all his days, by the way. So don't stand up there and think in your mind, oh, well, those things have all been changed. You got another thought coming. And just to use an expression from mother and father and grandmother and grandfather, if you don't change your ways, you're going to be in trouble. And that means repent. So there we have it. That's something, isn't it? Now, let's do this. Let's begin in Exodus 3. We're going to emphasize certain things. And a lot of people think that by the time you come to Exodus 12, that is the first Passover. So we will start out here and see the basis for why God sent Moses, called him. And notice he didn't appoint himself. Why he sent them, Moses, to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. You need to understand the reason for it. And when we go through Exodus 12, we will see the link. Just like if you're on the website and you come to a certain point and there is a link and says, click here. So you click there and that gives you more understanding, right? Well, there's a link, as we will see in Exodus 12, which confirms what we're going to read here in Exodus 3. So after God told him what he was going to do, verse 11, Exodus 3, page 174, Moses said to God, because he's been out there for 40 years shepherding sheep, right? You know, actually that was good training for him. But what did it do? It kept him isolated from everything of the riches and the wealth of Egypt. And when God began dealing with him, beginning with the burning bush, and then told him what he was going to do, and he began to comprehend all of it because he had been in Egypt and he was the heir apparent of the Pharaoh. So verse 11, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Now, we'll see that's very important a little later on. See, because now what we are going to do, we're going to take these three things, but we're going to focus in on the Passover mostly. And now we're going to begin to build and understand the substructure of what the Passover is all about. It's one thing to say, keep the Passover between the two evenings. It's another thing to know and understand what it's all about. So we'll begin to understand it here. Verse 13. Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers, I want you to understand that. God of your fathers. And he tells us exactly who they are, and we'll see that in a minute. Shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Because why? How many gods did they have in Egypt, and all the names of all the gods and everything, and who was Pharaoh? But he was God in the flesh on the earth. And that'll help you understand why all the severe plagues were there. We won't go into any of those in this sermon. And God said to Moses, I am that I am. Another translation is, I will be what I will be. Because God, as we're going to see, is a covenant God. And in the different covenants, he presents himself differently, though it's the same God. Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now you'll find the emphasis of I am in the book of John, because that follows through. And God said to Moses again, you shall say this to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title from generation to generation. Let's go to the next track, please.